everybody wants to please God. We want to have him look down on us and say, good job, son. Well done. And that's why we also want to please our parents, usually. And if we can't, it can scar us a whole life long. How much more, then, does it scar you to think that you can't please God no matter what you do? Which is why it's so amazing that in Jesus, God looks upon all mankind and says, look, look, that's my son. That's my servant. That's the one with whom I am eternally pleased. Listen to him. And he says, come to me, you weary, you heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're listening to Oratio, your morning hour of prayer, meditation, and growth here on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and we do got a few moments today to take a better look at Psalm 119, verses 97 through 104. This is that psalm, you know, 104, it's not done there. This is that psalm that you probably never read, not in one sitting. It's just a bit long, and it is a bit repetitive too. It is a meditation, an ongoing focus, or returning again to the same idea over and over, which is really summed up well in verse 97. Oh, how I love your Torah. Now, you got to put this one in your back pocket and keep it and pull it out every single time you see the word law in the Old Testament. Because since you're a good Lutheran, you know about the proper distinction between law and gospel, right? You know that we use that word law to refer to strictly the commandments of God, strictly the things that you're supposed to do in order to be a good person. And while that is true, right, that this is a way of designating the distinction between what you're supposed to do and what God has done for you, these words law and gospel, the Bible doesn't always use the word law that way. Sometimes it means something more. And particularly when it's this word Torah, which really, in short, is a way of referring to the entirety of the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, or in shorthand, Moses. And at the heart of Torah, at the heart of Moses, yeah, certainly there are Levitical codes and the Ten Commandments are absolutely there. But all of that is not the peak. The peak is the sacrifice of a lamb in the land of Goshen, and the blood of that lamb painted on the doorposts in order that God might fight for his people. And that, well, that's a picture of what Jesus came to finally do, not just to get you out of Egypt, but to get you out of sin, death, and the tyranny of the devil. So when the psalmist says, oh, how I love your Torah, he's not just talking about the Ten Commandments. Does he include them? Yes, absolutely. But he's not just talking about the Ten Commandments. He is including all of the promises, the covenant that God said to Abraham, through you, I will bless the world. That Joseph says, God means all that we do for evil, for good. That the people were given the knowledge of a land flowing with milk and honey in which death would never stalk their door again. That is what David hopes for, looks for, and knows he himself is part of in this psalm. The same man who prophesies, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at your right hand until I make your enemies a footstool, right? That his own son will be set on the throne, from his own flesh, a man to rule eternity. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. I mean, it makes it a lot easier to hear that, right? I mean, if it was just, oh, how I love your Ten Commandments, you can be like, okay, I can make myself do this, right? But it's not like, yeah. Although, the more you get to know them, there's bits of it that's like, oh yeah, love your neighbor. This is actually good. But it doesn't inspire, it doesn't awaken faith the same way that the gospel does. And so if you can have it in your back pocket that when you see the word law in the Old Testament, it often, not always, it often, usually, Torah includes the gospel as well. It is not strictly a command. And in this, you got to hear even the word commandment doesn't always mean law. So what he says in verse 98, your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies. It's not just do not murder, do not commit adultery. It is also, I forgive you. That is a commandment from God. God commands, you are forgiven. It's not a commandment you can do, right? This is how the opinion of the law in our hearts is so ready to like take everything in Scripture and make it about me and doing things. Because that's our sin, really. to believe that by doing something, by eating this fruit, I'm going to get better, right? It's the first sin. And now in that sin, we think we're going to climb our way back out of it by doing more of the thing that caused the problem in the first place. But God's commandment, I forgive you, this blood covers you, I declare to you a blessing, this commandment makes you wiser than all the world of men and all of its endless, incessant self-justification. This commandment, this salvation is with you everywhere that you go. And in this, the commandment of baptism, right? The institution of water pressed upon you with the name of the everlasting God, it's with you everywhere you go. Whether you believe it or not, is there with you so that you can believe it. The sign of the cross given to you in your baptismal rite to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified upon your head and upon your heart is there also as a tool of the ancient church to remind you that this commandment of God, I have bought you with my blood, it is always with you everywhere that you go. And in this grace, you have more understanding than all your teachers. The testimonies are the meditation. They understand and bring understanding in the precepts of his everlasting ability to do what he has said. So why would we turn aside from these just decrees that we have been taught? Why would we not declare how sweet these words are to our mouths? Sweeter than honey itself, because through these precepts, and yeah, I mean law and gospel, through these precepts we get the mind of Christ and can therefore despise all falsehood, trusting that that falsehood is most alive within the black confines of my heart, but also trusting that the true way and life, Jesus, well, that he's got you. That he's got you and he's never going to let go. Oh, how I love that Torah. Sharper Iron coming up next. Back to Matthew chapter 12. Jesus, Lord of the Sabbath. Are you ready to rock?